Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
Our next major announcement will be coming sometime in the next week, so don't miss out. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broadway Radio, and more than that, say hi. Obviously, we like chatting about theater, so if we talk about a show or an artist or some sort of news item that you want to talk about, involve us in the conversation.
So in the news today, we got the sad news that Doris Roberts has passed away.
We did. The New York Times is reporting that the beloved star of stage and screen passed away on Sunday at the age of 90 at her home in Los Angeles. The actress is known to many for her role in the long-running sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, for which she won 4 of her 5 Emmy Awards. However, long before her screen career took off, Roberts was a regular on the New York stage, appearing in 11 Broadway shows from 1955 through 1978. Most recently, in 2009, she appeared as part of the rotating cast of stars in the off-Broadway comedy Love, Loss, and What I Wore. Our thoughts go out to everybody who loved Doris Roberts, whether they knew her personally or just loved her on stage or screen.
Okay, next up, a lot of news here with Here Comes the Pulitzer.
Yeah, I know this is becoming a nearly daily occurrence, but yesterday, Lin-Manuel Miranda and his little show That Could again made history, becoming just the 9th musical to win the Pulitzer Prize for drama. James, no cheating, quick. Can you name the other 8?
You blacked it out in the script.
I did.
Darn you, I can't. Rent.
Rent, that's one. You've got Of The I Sing, oh, South Pacific, Fiorello, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, A Chorus Line, Sunday in the Park with George, Rent, The One You Got, and Next to Normal. So this becomes the 9th, but also this is 3 in the past, or 2 in the past decade, and 3 in the past couple decades. So it's starting to become much more of an occurrence than it ever was before for a musical to win this award. This year's other finalists included Gloria by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins and The Humans by Stephen Karam, which is also currently on Broadway along with Hamilton. James, if Lin wins an Oscar for the Disney movie that he's writing music for, I believe, with a little research, I believe that he will be the first person to win a PGOOT, a Pulitzer, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Olivier, and Tony. A Chorus Line won an Olivier, but that was an award for the show, so Marvin Hamlisch technically didn't win one, and the Olivier's only started in the mid-70s, so none of the Richard Rodgers shows would be eligible either. So I'm thinking this might be one we need to run by Peter, but I'm thinking we might have our first PGOOT winner here in about a year.
Did you trademark PGOOT?
No, and I don't think I want to.
Oh, it's like three-peat. I can't believe you blacked out the answer there.
I wanted to see if you could get it.
I would have gotten 2, maybe 3 of those. Rent, maybe How to Succeed in Chorus Line, possibly. I totally forgot about Next to Normal. I wasn't a big fan of that show. Were you?
I was not. I appreciate what it was trying to
do.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I don't know that I necessarily either. I didn't really love the music. There were some songs that I loved, but I don't necessarily agree with the message of just go off and ignore medicine and just live your life however you want if you have some sort of mental illness. But I am by no means a psychiatrist or psychologist, so I will leave that to people with far more letters after their name to decide.
All right. What else is happening at Hamilton?
Well, the Pulitzer announcement wasn't the only good news that the folks over at the Richard Rodgers got in the past few days, as current Secretary of the Treasury Jack Lew told CNN that his predecessor Alexander Hamilton would remain on the $10 bill and that a woman would be made the face of the $20 bill. I'm personally beginning a petition to get Elaine Stritch on the 20, but if that doesn't happen, I'm gonna throw my vote behind Harriet Tubman. But at least now we know that Lynn won't need to rewrite the $10 founding father line anytime soon.
So you're gonna have to help me, you know, as on This Week in Broadway, whenever we have foreign pronunciation, we usually throw to Michael Portantier, but you'll have to do this. So something, what?
Yes, it was announced yesterday that the Donmar Warehouse's recent Olivier production of Les Liaisons Dangereuses, or as people my age call it, the old French Cruel Intentions, will make its way to Broadway this October and will star Tony winner Janet McTeer, who will transfer with the production from London. opposite fellow Tony winner, Liev Schreiber. Josie Rourke will again direct the show when it comes to the Booth Theater beginning on October 8th. And the show will have a 15-week limited run running through January 22nd, 2017.
When this show comes around, can I just call it Less Dangerous?
I don't know why we don't just call it Dangerous Liaisons. Like, that's so much easier. No one is going to be able to say the correct name. I literally spent 15, 20 minutes trying to get the correct pronunciation online.
That was like in the 90s when we would go to the record store, like HMV or Tower or something like that, and look for Les Miserables. And we would look under M, and it would be listed under L. So anyway, this is why people don't like theater people.
Yeah, well.
All right. So how are the grosses? They just came out?
They did come out, and they ended up doing pretty well. More than half of the shows that saw a post-spring break decline last week rebounded this week. And as a whole, grosses rose by about $283,000 to top the $27 million mark last week. It is a bit of a broken record, but The Lion King led the way with $1,939,509, with Aladdin, Hamilton, School of Rock, The Book of Mormon, The King and I, and Wicked also topping the million-dollar mark last week. Down at the other end of the scale, if you take out Cirque du Soleil's Paramore, which only played one performance, but still pulled in nearly $191,000. Pretty good for the first show, isn't it? Yeah. But down the other end, MTC's The Father had the lowest gross total with just $226,000, and Disaster was the low musical with $287,222. Disaster also had the lowest percent of gross potential of all the shows on Broadway last week at just 25.9%. I know it was already set up as a limited run, and I don't know how much they have in reserve over at the Nederlander, but with numbers like that, I have a feeling there's a lot of producers asking some pretty difficult questions right now. A few other shows and totals to mention. Yesterday, James, we talked about Waitress kind of breaking away from the new musical pack this spring. With its opening coming up on Thursday, it has seen a steady increase in grosses every week, all the way up to $937,000 this week. So that's pretty good for a show that hasn't opened yet. And Hamilton did see a decline of over $135,000 last week, but as we discussed last week as well, that has to do with the first all-student matinee that they had last Wednesday. It still was the only show last week to eclipse 100% of its gross potential at 125.7%. So those student matinees aren't hurting the bottom line all that much.
I have to tell you a quick story, Matt.
Okay.
We know that Hamilton is bigger than life and it's ridiculous and we're talking about it every day, but I think that it has gone, it has broken through beyond the mainstream media now, because I got an email from my brother who lives in Fort Myers, Florida, who asked me, he said, "Hey, my wife and I are coming up next Saturday night. Can you get me two tickets to Hamilton?"
Did you just say ha 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 and reply back like that?
I didn't even know, but I was like, I can't tell you the last time that he went to a Broadway show. It has to be 25, 30 years, and he's coming to New York and wants to see Hamilton. So,
well, you can probably get him tickets if he wants to throw down $1,000 a piece.
That ha 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 is appropriate now.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
All right. So let's go on to the New York City Center announces the new director of its off-center program.
Yeah. It was announced earlier this year that the incredible Tony winner, one of my favorites, Janine Tesori, would be stepping down from her position as the director of Encore's off-center. And yesterday it was announced that Michael Friedman, a fellow composer, would be taking her place. New York City Center's Encore's off-center program presents off-Broadway musicals that pushed creative boundaries when they were first produced, and Friedman is no stranger to that kind of boundary pushing. He wrote the music and lyrics for the probably way ahead of its time Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. He also wrote the off-Broadway musical The Fortress of Solitude, as well as providing original music to a number of critically acclaimed plays as well. Tesori's final off-center series season will feature The Runaways and Kurt Vonnegut's God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, which is based on Kurt Vonnegut's book, not actually written by Kurt Vonnegut, in addition to a one-night-only off-center jamboree. So it seems like a really good way for her to end her run, and then for Mr. Friedman to come in to see what he can do next year.
Great. So what's happening with Kimmy Schmidt?
Well, normally we kind of end the show sometimes with recommendations, and generally it's articles or videos from the theater world. I am going to step a little bit outside the theater-related world and recommend the second season of Netflix's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which was released this past Friday. Like I said, the show does not directly have a lot of theater roots, but the cast is littered with Broadway actors, most notably Titus Burgess, Jane Krakowski, and Carol Kane in the main cast of the show. The story is about a woman who has lived half of her life in an underground bunker because a crazy man told her that the world had ended, and then when she is finally rescued, she is incredibly sheltered, and she decides at the age of 30 she's going to move to New York City to start a new life. It is hilarious. The show also features Broadway alums Sarah Chase and Anna Camp, and has had guest appearances by James Monroe Iglehart, John Ellison Conley, Martin Short, Richard Kind, Christine Ebersole, Zasha Mamet, Jeff Goldblum, Judy Gold, and many, many more. This is one of my favorite comedies on TV or streaming or whatever. So if you're looking for something to make you laugh before your next theater engagement, check out Kimmy Schmidt.
So we're coming up on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's finale.
It is. It actually happened last night. I have not, by the time we're taping this, I haven't seen it, but I actually will have an interview. I don't know if you knew this. I don't think I told you this, but no. I will have an interview coming out today on Broadway World with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's creator and star Rachel Bloom. So we had a nice little chat about the show and try to weave in how she weaves in musical references to the show and all that stuff. So it was a lot of fun to talk to her.
That's great. I mean, I'm new to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend thing, and finally got focused on taking a look at the whole season, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. All right, Matt, let's get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for listening. Send us your feedback, and we will talk to you tomorrow.